Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's great to be here today, and we're just rejoicing in the Lord. And Friday will be our 45th wedding anniversary, and so I'm so thankful that we've held out. Praise God. Amen. You know, the reality is marriages last not because you have two perfect people that got everything going on exactly right. They come together and they get married. It's because two imperfect people decide they're going to make it work, and they actually commit one to another. They commit to obeying the Bible, commit to obeying God, commit to a life surrendered to Him. And if you have not gotten and read my wife's book, Sheer Commitment, you need to make sure you get a copy of that and read it. How many of you have a copy of that book and you've read the book? You've read. How many have gotten a copy and read? Wow. Two people. Okay, well, that's wonderful. Can somebody get me a copy back there, and also just a copy of my new book? I just had a new book that came out. But I would encourage you, and by the way, this is not just a book for women. This is a book for men and women. It's a wonderful book for couples to actually read together. We've actually counseled many couples to actually, you know, read this book together, because it'll be a great blessing. And it'll actually help your marriage. It'll strengthen your marriage, and will cause you to get closer. Praise the Lord. They're going to get one of the books. I'm assuming they're on their way. All right, y'all give it up for Kevin. Great. As a matter of fact, I guess he was voted the pit master of High Praise Crestview last night. So. But if you don't have this book, you really need to get it. Again, this you can just read one chapter a day. That's not very much. And so in less than 2 weeks, you will have read the entire book. And so couples can read that together. It's a wonderful way to see your relationship actually strengthen. You want this book, sis? Come on up here and get it. It is an outstanding. Come on, give it up for her. Hallelujah. God bless you. And you may say, well, you know, I'm single. Well, that's fine. If you're believing for a husband or a wife, whatever it might be, then get the book. Also, my latest release, Voices of Leadership, just came out 2 weeks ago. And this is really a great book. It'll teach you how to be led by the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Good Shepherd, but will also show you how you can begin to lead in different areas and arenas of your life. Because I believe that God has called those who are saved, the church, to actually be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So God has called us to be leaders. And this is a very powerful book. I've had, whenever we were going through the proofing process, our entire staff read it. All of them said that this is the best book that I've written yet. And I think this is number 12. So you need to make sure you get a copy of that. I think we have a kind of a special. They're $15 a piece, or you can get two for $25. Or if you want three, we'll give you three for $30. So does anybody not have this book? Okay. We'll give it to somebody else, but praise the Lord. Anybody, if you can get up here, first person get up here, you can have the book. Praise the Lord. Oh, they're coming fast. They're coming fast. All right. Give me Kleenex, please. Kleenex. Again, it's great to be here this morning. Originally, Pastor Stacy was going to be sharing with me, and we were going to be sharing some things about how that marriage is the greatest team that God ever put together. One of the things that we see that God always does is he said in the very beginning that it was not good for man to be alone. Right. How many of you men can say amen to that?
Amen.
How many are glad that you have a wife? All right, thank you. Got a couple of people that are really excited about that. Some of you might need some help. How many men are thankful you have a wife? You know, the Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a
good thing.
Look at your wife right now and say, you sure are a good thing. Hallelujah. Wow, that was weak also. Listen, I'm giving you opportunities to get some points this morning, okay? And so you say, you look at your wife and say, honey, you a good thing, all right? So go ahead and tell them you're a good thing. Oh, you still can't do it. All right, praise the Lord. We'll have prayer for you at the end of the service. But the reality is, says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. And again, whenever God put man and woman together, he did it for a specific reason. And I would tell you, you could have a feeling of love, but you don't really know love until you have to live with somebody. And that person isn't exactly like you. And you got to learn to get, then you have to practice love, right? See, love is not a feeling, really. Love is a verb. Love is a way you live. Love is something that you do. And there's so much more that we could talk about. And by the way, Pastor Stacy, she shares all about that in her book to help you get an understanding that I think a lot of times what we have defined in our culture compatibility is this: you think exactly the way that I think. And I just got, here's a revelation alert. You will never find anybody that's going to think exactly the way that you think, right? Nobody's going to think exactly like you think, you know. And you just ask some opinions, you know. Ask your husband, where do you think the furniture in the house ought to go? And then ask the wife, where do you think the furniture ought to go? And how many know you're going to get two different opinions, right? And how many know what opinion is right? You know what opinion is right. It's your wife's opinion. Come on, let's just be honest here. She knows where the furniture needs to be. But anyway, and so there's always going to be, and this is the whole thing, love is, it's easy to love somebody that's singing your praises. It's easy to love somebody that only has, you know, that you agree with at the moment. But you see, where love is tested is what happens whenever they have a criticism of what you're doing or have an evaluation of what's going on, and they love you enough to tell you the truth, because sometimes the truth isn't necessarily what we want to hear, right? And so we have to learn to really walk in love. So anyway, we were going to share this morning about team, but I really felt the Lord kind of shift, and we thought that we might have to go to the hospital last night. She was having some severe pain in her back and shooting through her body. But praise the Lord, we declare, y'all just reach out your hand that way. Just say, be healed in the name of Jesus. We just declare all pain is gone. And she's doing better in Jesus' name and getting better. But anyway, as we were in worship, though, I felt the Lord say this, that there is a fresh wind that he is releasing within this church body. And I began to sense as we were in worship that there was like I could literally like hear a wind of the Spirit blowing in this house. And I heard the Lord say there is going to be a quick doubling within this church body. Now, there's a new building that's coming. Hallelujah. One way or another, hallelujah, there's a new building that's on its way. I know most of you probably already know about this. And the wheels are in motion and everything is lining up. We're just doing some finalization of some plans and things like that. But I really believe that the Lord is saying that there is going to be a very rapid increase and a very rapid doubling, because, now listen, this is not about, it's not about numbers in the sense of we just want more people or we want a larger church so we can beat ourselves on the chest and say, look at what we've done. There is a hunger in this area. There is a hunger in this territory. And the Lord is saying that I'm going to come and fill the hunger of the hearts of those within this area and within this region. The Lord says, I'm going to blow upon you. And I hear the Lord saying, I'm causing the dead things to come back to life once again. feel like the Lord is saying that there's some things within your life and within your family even that you've just said, well, it's dead and it's never going to come back to life. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord say today, I am breathing on it once again. I'm causing the dead things to come to life. I'm causing it to come forth. And just like Ezekiel stood at the valley of dry bones and he began to speak the word of the Lord. And the Lord says, even as he began to speak and declare the word, the bones came together. And God says, I'm bringing the bones of your family back together. God says, I'm bringing the bones of your children back together. The Lord says, I'm bringing the bones of your career. I'm bringing the bones of your finances back together. I'm bringing the bones of your health back together. And the Lord's saying, it's going to live and it will not die, says the Spirit of the Lord. Can you give God a praise today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you look at somebody and say, it will live? Come on, say it, it will live. I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying that, but as we were in worship, and I kind of had a sensing that Stacy was not going to be able to share, I felt the Lord begin to speak to me about sharing some things about unity, the unity of the Spirit. You know, it's very interesting that we started this church in 2020. Does anybody recall the year 2020? Is everybody right? As Pastor Micah said, we've all tried to forget 2020. 2020 was one of the craziest years that I have ever been alive. I don't know of any other year that I've been alive where there was so much craziness as 2020. And regardless of what side of the fence that you're on, the reality is there was all kind of things that were taking place. And I've been in church my entire life. I have never known of a time when things were so divisive within the body of Christ. People, you know, liked or hated people, whether or not they wore a mask or whether they didn't wear a mask. And many times that became like the litmus test of where your faith was and what you believe. And I'll make sure that everybody understands that there's nothing specifically said in the Bible about masks, so we should never make a doctrine about it one way or the other. Yeah. Right? Amen. If the Bible's solid on something, we don't need to take a hard line position and create a doctrine about it. You know, and there's so many other things that happened. And I saw people that once loved each other, once were walking together, once were in covenant with one another. They actually broke relationship all because of external things that the Bible is totally solid on. And the enemy took all of these things that were happening, all the different opinions. And by the way, everybody had an opinion about everything. And by the way, their opinion was right. And you know why it was right? They read it on Facebook. Right? I read this on Facebook. It had to be right. I saw it on the internet. And this guy had a DR at the beginning of his name. I don't know who he is. I've never heard of him before. But he had to be right. And, you know, it's amazing. We get opinionated about something, and once we find somebody that agrees with our opinion, then we know we're right because they're right. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is we should never allow, hear this, we should never allow the external circumstances and things that are going on in the culture and the world to be things that divide us as the body of Christ. And neither should it divide husbands and wives and sons and daughters from their mothers and fathers. Amen? I mean, they're different. And again, please hear how I'm saying this. We believe, first and foremost, we belong to the kingdom of God. How many of you believe we belong, first and foremost, you belong to Jesus? That should be your first identity. Your very first identity as a Christian is, I'm a part of the family of God. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. Everything else is superficial compared to that. That's where it all starts. But we saw people dividing with each other based upon political opinions and on candidates and things like that. People within the body of Christ. And my friend, hear this. That is not the way that God created the church to operate. Right? We're called to love one another regardless of what their opinions about things that are going on in the world may be. Regardless of your economic opinion, regardless of your political opinion. If you name the name of Jesus, you're my brother, you're my sister, and you know what? We're going to agree on this. We agree that Jesus is Lord, amen? And He's greater than anything else, right? And so, and the reason I'm saying that is because, again, this is a Building Families weekend. And hear this, husbands and wives have to understand that you're not always going to agree. And there's nothing more that the devil loves to do than stir up strife and division within homes. Because Peter actually talked about this, whenever there's strife and division in the home, that your prayers would be hindered. What does the enemy want to do? He wants to hinder your prayers. See, when you're believing God for your sons or your daughters, what does the devil want to do? He wants to bring division and strife. Why? So your prayers will be hindered. So that you won't see the answer to your prayer. How many of you want to see your prayers answered? Listen, your opinion, it's worth allowing it to die in order that your prayers can be answered. Amen? Are y'all getting anything out of this so far? I haven't really started, but it's good. Philippians 2 verse 1 says this, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Everybody say like-minded. Like-minded. Having the same love, say same love. Being of one accord, say one accord. And in one mind, everybody say one mind. You know, the very first message I ever preached, I remember to this day, I was 16 years old. And in our youth group, at that time, for you that don't know, my wife and I, we grew up in Panama City. That's our hometown. And we tried like everything to get out of Panama City, but the Lord planted us there for a divine purpose. We were raised there for a divine purpose. But anyway, around when I was 14 years old, we started going to a church there in Callaway, which is where we're located right now, where our church building is located, High Praise is located. And it's on the east side of Panama City. Most of you know where it's at. But anyway, we were going to Callaway Assembly of God. And that's actually later on, that's where she kind of caught my eye. I said, she's pretty nice. Hallelujah. You know what I mean by nice, right? I'm nice. Right, you're right. You know what I'm talking. See, there's nice, and then there's nice. You know, she was nice. Okay. Okay. For he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, you understand what I'm saying. She was nice. So there she goes, just a walking down the street, singing, do what, diddy diddy, dum diddy do. Yeah, that's who she was. And I'm reminiscing right now, you know. And by the way, she's still nice. All right. So we were, but I remember I'm going somewhere with this. My very first message I preached was in our youth group, and I preached this message called All for One and One for All. And I don't know if anybody remembers the Three Musketeers. Anybody remember? And that was the motto of the Three Musketeers: All for One, All for One, and One for All. And so I took it and made a message out of it and talked about unity and how important it was for unity. The very first message I ever preached was about unity. It has been a theme in our ministry from ever since then. As a matter of fact, there's three or four songs that I've written specifically that has the theme of unity within it. And let me tell you why it is so important. You have to understand this. God hates division. Yeah. Say it again. God hates division. What's very interesting, it says over in Proverbs, it says there's six things that God hates. And then it says the seventh is an abomination. You know what abomination means? That means He loathes it. That means he hates it, but then this thing is so bad, it even goes beyond hate. So the seventh is an abomination. You know what it says? That is, you would think the abomination to God has to be some type of perverted sexual sin, right? That's what you think. But that's not what it says. It says the seventh thing that's an abomination to God is he who sows discord among the brethren. In other words, if you're sowing discord and strife, if you're echoing the doctrine of the culture in order to bring division in the church or to bring division in families or to bring divisions between sons and daughters or whatever, God says, that's an abomination to me. Why? Because God always moves whenever people are unified. Can I tell you, there is no end to what God can and will do within this church body as long as everybody remains unified and there's a unity of the Spirit. You see, when you study in the Bible, you'll find that God always did great things whenever people were unified. Dedication of Solomon's temple, what happens? It says they were all in one accord. They all began to make one sound in praising and thanking the Lord. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 or chapter 7, somewhere in there. But anyway, the Bible says then that the entire house was filled with the cloud, was filled with the glory of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister. Whenever people come together and they unify their hearts, when they unify their spirits, they have one purpose. What happens is God, let me say it another way, it gets the attention of heaven. You want to get the attention of heaven, you start walking in unity. You want to get the attention of heaven, you refuse to fight whenever everything within you is screaming out to fight. Right? Because, you know, the reality is this is the human nature is somebody disagrees with me, I want to set them straight. Right? My wife, my husband disagrees with me, I got to make sure that they know, I got to give them a piece of my mind about this. Listen, you got to be careful about giving away pieces of your mind. You might end up with nothing left, right? You know, hang on to all the pieces of your mind that you can. But we feel like we have some kind of obligation to make sure that we straighten out everybody because they don't think exactly like us. Let me tell you, you have to understand and you got to be discerning to recognize whenever it's the enemy just trying to bring division and discord. Have you ever heard this phrase? A bulldog can whip a skunk, but sometimes it just ain't worth it. Tell them about it later whenever you get home. A bulldog can whip a skunk, but sometimes it just ain't worth it. And for anybody that's been married for more than a year, you know what I'm talking about. You know, there's sometimes that you know that you're right, right? I mean, you know that you're right, and you know that you have the right answer, and you know, but you know, you also understand at the end of the day, is this really worth the argument that's going to ensue if we try to get into this? All right? And what we have to understand is sometimes it's just not worth it, okay? Look, I know that you probably know, men, some of you probably know the exact ingredients that need to go in the cake that your wife's baking, and you saw her not put in the right ingredients. But can I tell you, it just ain't worth it. Let her fix the cake, let her bake the cake, you take a bite of it and go, that is so good, that is so wonderful, right? So the very first, are y'all getting anything? I'm getting in your grill a little bit here. But you know what? This is what we've counseled, I don't know how many people in their marriage and their family. And I will tell you, one of the things that the devil attempts to do more than anything else is he wants to bring division and strife in marriages. And most of the time it's over something that big. It's something that big that they made a big mountain out of. And you got to say, I'm not going to let the devil make a mountain out of a molehill. I'm not going to let the devil make something big out of something small and bring strife into our home and into our family. We have to understand God hates division. Now, Ephesians 2:16 says this, that he, talking about Jesus, that he might reconcile them both. And he's talking about Jew and Gentile here. Because you do have to understand, at the time that Paul is writing, there's this great divide between Jew and Gentile, between who's in covenant, who's not in covenant. And Jews didn't receive Gentiles. Gentiles were those who were outside of covenant. And there was great animosity and great division between Jew and Gentile. Even once they got saved, there was still this division. And so Paul is addressing these issues in the churches, and he says that he might reconcile them both Jew and Gentile, both to God in one body. Everybody say one body. And it says how he does it. It's in one body through the cross. Everybody say the cross. You know, we know the cross is what Jesus died on, but we also know this. The Bible says, this is what Paul said. He said, you've got to allow your flesh to be crucified. Let me say it another way. In order for us to actually become one, As husbands and wives, we have to allow some flesh to be crucified on the cross. We have to begin to identify and allow the passions and the lusts and the desires in our own selfish ways to end up being crucified so that we can have one marriage, one body, one family, and we're not divided. Can everybody say amen? Amen. See, the goal of the cross is this, to reconcile different people who think differently into one body. And by the way, the same goes for your marriage. The goal of the cross is to reconcile two different people, a male and a female. I do want to make sure that everybody understands that, right? You're not. And by the way, you're not just physically different, but you're emotionally different, right? And you think differently. Is this a surprise to any of you? You think differently. You know why? Because He created you as opposites. When God created man, he looked at Adam and he said, I didn't get it quite right. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He's going to make a mess by himself. Right? Man's going to mess up if he's by himself. I'm going to create a helpmeet. Everybody say helpmeet. The word help me, the Hebrew word that's used there is the word neged. And that word neged literally means this. Are you ready for it? It means to stand out boldly opposite of. To stand out boldly opposite of. It's not good that man would be alone. So I'm going to make somebody who stands out boldly opposite of him. She's going to think opposite. She's going to do things opposite. He's going to put his feet up on everything. She's going to say, get your feet off of that. Or y'all follow what I'm saying? She's going to say, the house needs this. He's going to think something different. And so what he does is he makes a beautiful, and by the way, I am so glad that God created woman. I am so good. Right? Can you imagine? Oh, God forbid. A world that is filled with nothing but men. Oh, that would be an ugly. You know, I can look around in this church today, and I'm telling you that, you know, there's beautiful women all throughout this, you know, and it's just like back in Panama City, you know, there's beautiful ladies. Now, I hope everybody understands how I'm saying that, okay? I'm not saying beautiful ladies like that, okay? That's not what I'm trying to say, okay? I'm saying they're, as a matter of fact, you know, Aunt Kyle and Amber are here today, and they're part of the church there. And by the way, we really are one church. I know we're in two different locations, and they're all, obviously the church functions independently, but we all have the same DNA, praise the Lord. But nonetheless, and they've heard me say this before, you know, we have beautiful ladies in Panama City, in the church there. And I said, and I don't know how to even describe the men, because to me, all men are ugly. All men are ugly. Hey. I'm sorry, Kyle. You're ugly, okay? Okay? Your wife is pretty. You're ugly. All right. You're pretty ugly. Okay, all right. You know, and so God basically says, you know, man, I really messed up on this one. I got to go back to the drawing board. Got to make another one. I'm going to take a rib out of you, and I'm going to make this most beautiful creation. The masterpiece of all creation, the last thing before God says, it is all really, really good. The last thing he made was woman. Praise the Lord. Amen? And so he makes woman, but he says, I'm going to make her totally opposite. She's going to be different because he's incomplete. See, you have to understand this, and to have the right frame of mind. And by the way, ladies, you have to understand, just like you complete your husband completes you. Yes. Right? We complete one another. We don't compete with one another. Right. Say that again. We complete one another. Yes, we don't compete with one another. Yes, and so we have to take competition and fighting and warring and quarreling out of the equation and out of the relationship so we can kind of have the marriage that God desires for us to have. And so again, the goal of the cross, I want to emphasize this again, the goal of the cross is what brought two different people together, two different people types together, Jew and Gentile together, in one body. Understand this. It's not until you're willing to go to the cross that you can actually see your marriage totally unified. It's not until you're willing to die to some things and put it on the cross that you're going to see unity live, and you'll see the life of God and the wind of the Spirit will blow into your marriage and in your home. Amen. By the way, what you sense here on Sunday mornings, it's not meant just to be experienced here. It's meant to be experienced everywhere you go. It's meant to be experienced in your household, in your family, with your children, on the job. Hallelujah. Amen. So part of the purpose of the cross is to unify people. We come under one banner, the name of Jesus. Amen. And there's nothing else. Earthly and fleshly things that people seek to unite around will ultimately fade away. Amen. Only Jesus is going to remain. I said only Jesus is going to remain. This is what it says in Psalm 133. And I know some of you probably know this psalm. I love it. It says, "How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." And it goes on to say it's like the oil that flowed upon Aaron, that Aaron was anointed with, that flowed down on his beard. And not didn't stop with his beard, but went down to his garments. And it goes on to say, "For there God commands the blessing." Everybody say, "God commands the blessing." Where does God command the blessing? God commands the blessing where unity resides, where people are getting along. When husbands and wives, listen, if you're having financial difficulties, one of the greatest ways for you to get out of the financial difficulty is stop fighting and start praying together and coming into agreement. Amen. Start looking to Jehovah Jireh rather than pointing your fingers at your spouse, or pointing your fingers at Washington, or pointing your fingers at Tallahassee or Crestview or wherever it is. How many of you know God is Jehovah Jireh, and it doesn't matter who is in the place of power? He's still Jehovah Jireh. Amen. See, it's not like, well, that person, they voted this individual in, so therefore now I can't be Jehovah Jireh anymore. How many know God doesn't work that way? Right? How many know He's still Jehovah Jireh? How many know He's still Jehovah Rapha? How many know He's still Jehovah Shalom? Right? And so regardless of what's happening all around us, listen, believers, we have to get our eyes off of everything out here and begin to get our eyes back on what He says. Amen? Get our eyes on what He says. Now, the balance, I said this yesterday, we want to see godly men in power, right? We believe that, and we need to function, and we need to, yes, the church needs to let its voice be known. But understand this, it is more important that we unite around the fact that we are believers. We don't unite because we're just all from the same country. That's wonderful and good, and thank God for our wonderful nation. How many glad you live in the United States? It's the greatest nation on the face of the earth. It really is, and I thank God for that. I thank God that I was privileged to be born and raised in this country, to this nation. That's wonderful and great, but understand this. There's something that's greater than even my national identity, and that is my spiritual identity and the family that I belong to and the kingdom that I belong to. Because hear this, nations rise and nations fall, but the kingdom of God will remain forever and ever and ever. Of His kingdom there will be no end. Right? There was a day when the Roman Empire was the most powerful, principality on the earth. But how many know that empire fell? You know, there was a time whenever Russia was... in my lifetime, Russia at one time was really large and it had all of these different states that were united. And you know what? It's not the big bad Russia that it used to be. You follow what I'm saying? And so what happens? Nations rise, nations fall, but the kingdom lasts forever. Amen? So it's God commands the blessing where unity resides. Okay? Action, hear this, is required for unity to exist. Look at somebody and say, we got to take some action. Because that's what it says in Ephesians 4. It says this, to endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And that means you got to work at it. Husbands and wives, you're not just automatically going to be unified. You're not automatically, everything's going to be hunky-dory just because you said I do and you had a wonderful honeymoon and you had a great, and you continue to have a honeymoon. Hallelujah. 45 years, just because there's snow on the rooftop doesn't mean there's no fire in the furnace. Hallelujah. Right? So, right. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe that was that too much for you? I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Y'all need to be thankful there's a fire in the furnace. You wouldn't have a pastor here right now. All right, hallelujah. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Now, y'all don't know this. Pastor Micah was the fulfillment of a prophetic word. Not a pathetic word, a prophetic word. I was satisfied with 2 kids. Okay, I was ready to stop at 2. And we got this prophecy about having 3 children. I'm going, ah.
But I wanted 3.
But she wanted 3. See, like, and that's the reason. See, once again, I came into agreement. Hallelujah. We had unity. All right. And I tell you that the closing argument was this. Whenever she told me, she said, because she had C-section on our first 2, and I'm with Pastor Micah also, she said, you know what, if you do the 3rd one, then, you know, we have a 3rd child, then what's going to happen is they'll do a tubal ligation while they've got me open, and it'll be good. If not, you're going to go see the doctor. I said, 3 it is, baby. Hallelujah. That's all I needed to hear. Action's required for unity to exist, right? Got to work at it. Unity requires, I'm gonna say the word, y'all please don't throw tomatoes, but unity requires change. Oh, look at somebody and say, you need to change. Oh, y'all are very enthusiastic about that. You need to change. Yeah. You need to change. Listen, human beings, we hate the word change. Let's be honest. You ever had somebody tell you you need to change? Come on. You ever had your spouse tell you you need to change? Yeah. And of course, you know, honey, have you looked in the mirror lately? You think I need to change? Let me tell you who really needs to change. You need to change. Right? You can get with it. So, see, we always think everybody else needs to change. But hear this. The cross requires everybody to change. The cross requires everybody to change. The cross requires me to change. The cross requires you to change. The cross requires us to put down the pettiness and come into agreement for the sake of something that is greater than your personal opinion. Amen? So you got to go to the cross. Your stubbornness has to go to the cross. Again, we want everybody else to change. If only those people would change. But the reality is, unity requires change for everybody. Unity requires subjugating your preference. Everybody say, your preference. In other words, your desires have to go to the cross. That's the reason we're commanded to prefer one another. Jesus said this, agree with your adversary quickly. He's not even talking about your spouse there. But if you got to agree with your adversary quickly, how much more should you agree with your spouse quickly? Rather than always, listen, if you're Mr. or Mrs. No to anything that's ever said, you ever met those people? It doesn't matter what you say. You can say the sky is blue and they say, well, no, it's not really. Right? Well, that sure is pretty over there. Well, no, you know, I don't think it's quite as pretty. Why in the world? You don't need to articulate your opinion. They said they thought it was pretty. It's not important for you to articulate your opinion at that time in order to bring your manner of disapproval of what they just said. Is that too strong for you? Right? Your desires have to go to the cross. We got to die to our own personal preference. Listen, we don't die to our convictions that we know are true from the Word of God. But we do die to our preference, right? My preference has to be subjugated, right? Unity requires you to be a peacemaker. Everybody say peacemaker. See, your dislikes and hatred have got to go to the cross. Hatred must die so love can be resurrected. If you want love resurrected, then you got to let the hatred go to the cross. You're either a peacemaker or you're a strife stirrer. There is no middle ground here. Either you can make peace or you can stir strife. How many know making peace is much better? I want to encourage you, men, if you want to see love reignited in your home and in your household, then start being a peacemaker. Don't be a strife stirrer. If you always stir the pot, don't be surprised when you have a stink. Right? We cannot win to Jesus, hear this, the people whom we're villainizing every day. If you have the us against them or us, when it should be us for them, right? But many people today have the us against them type mentality. And unfortunately what happens, it continues to cause this disunity. You know, listen, champion debaters don't make peace. You might be able to debate your spouse under the table. You know what I mean by that? But understand this, it ain't going to make your marriage any better. As a matter of fact, it'll probably make your marriage worse. Okay? Proving others wrong changes no one, right? Also, unity requires humility. In other words, your opinions have to go to the cross. Stop trying to prove you're right. It's better to be reconciled than be declared that you are right. I'm going to say that again. It's better to be reconciled than to be declared that you're right. As I said, sometimes it's just not worth it. Why fight whenever you can be loving one another? Why be in a quarrel whenever you can actually show mutual appreciation? You know, I want to challenge you with this. I encourage every one of you that are married, every day whenever you wake up, you say at least 5 good things about your spouse. Oh, is this a big challenge to some of you? Say at least 5 good things. Usually I wake up in the morning and I always tell my wife, I love you. I always tell her, you are beautiful. And I hope this doesn't offend any of you, but I tell my wife every day, she's sexy. Hallelujah. I do. Micah, just close your ears. I'll write their eyes. Long past that now, but nonetheless, I tell her that she's wonderful. I'll compliment things that she does. You know, it's easy to find fault. Seems like so many in the body of Christ have become professional fault finders. We can always find the problem, however, we don't have a solution ourselves. You know, what if we started actually, the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, pure, lovely, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think upon these things. You see, why is it important to do that? If there's any praise, think on these things. Because if you're not thinking on these things, then you'll think on something negative, and that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And so what if we started saying, you know what? I'm going to find at least 5 good things I can say about my spouse every day. And I'm sure that you can find 5 things. And if you can't find 5 things, start making 5 faith confessions every day. Right? Maybe they're totally messy. Maybe you just start saying, I just appreciate the way you keep the house so clean. All right, praise the Lord. I'm thankful that you're so neat. Some of you ladies may be challenged to say that to your husbands, because they are probably the ones that leave their underwear in the floor and leave their shoes all over the place, right? And you need, and I listen, speaking words of faith like that over them, they're not going to know what to do with it. So their heads are going to be spinning. I don't know what in the world she just said. She's normally complaining about me, not picking up my underwear, not putting up my shoes, and now she's saying how much she appreciates how neat and tidy I am. Can I tell you something? There will be a conviction that is going to grab their heart, and they're going to say, I got to live up to the expectation of what my spouse actually believes about me. Oh, hallelujah. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You see, we got to make a decision that we're going to walk in unity. As a church body, you've got to make a decision that you're going to walk in unity. As members of the body of Christ, you have to make a decision. We're going to walk in unity. As husbands and wives, you've got to make a decision. We're going to walk in unity. And we're not going to let the devil divide. What God has put together, let no man separate. Let no man put asunder. Would you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. How many of you have received something from this morning? Did you receive something from this today? See, we're going to walk in unity. We're not going to let these petty things. You know, I had somebody just last night come to me and tell me that, and please, I trust I'll be able to say this without anybody getting offended. And told me about this particular individual that we both know and have in common. And he said, oh, by the way, did you know? I want to tell you, he came to me the other day and he said, just so you know, the earth is flat. Now, I personally have a differing opinion, okay? Now, if you want to think the earth is flat, that's fine. I have a differing opinion, but understand this. Our commonality in Jesus is greater than our opinion of what the earth looks like, right? I don't know. You know, I was always taught that it was a globe. In kindergarten, we had a globe. And now NASA has taken pictures. I don't know. Maybe some people think that they're all fake. I don't know. But the reality is this. Those are things that are, at the end of the day, does not determine your salvation whatsoever. And it doesn't determine your function in the body of Christ. It may determine what I think about other things about you. But the reality, it has nothing to do with who we are as members of the body. Does everybody understand that? Right? Can you receive that? We don't, that shouldn't be, those kind of things don't need to be dividing issues in the body of Christ. And I don't know why people want to make it dividing issues. And the reality is this, we have to realize that there's something that's greater. And that's the name of Jesus. There's something that's greater. And that's what God has said. That's what the Lord declares, amen, over us. Can you just lift your hands right there where you're at? And we're going to make this declaration today. First of all, we're going to make this declaration. And we're going to say this together. In the name of Jesus, I make a choice today to walk in unity, to walk in love. I make a choice today to love my fellow members of the body of Christ. I make a choice today to love my spouse. I make a choice today to not allow strife, division, discord to explode in my home. I thank you, Lord, for the unity of the Spirit in my family. I declare that my family, that my home will be full of the glory of God. I thank you, Lord, for the unity that you're bringing today. I put my selfish desires, my personal preferences, my personal opinions, I put them on the cross today. And I say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. In Jesus' name, I receive it now. The work of the Spirit in my life, within my home, within my family, in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you give the Lord a shout right now? Come on, give the Lord a shout. Come on, give him a praise today. Hallelujah.